I didn't know how messed up I was until I met this guy on the train. It was the strangest thing. Well, even so, that was nothing compared to my childhood. I mean, let me tell you about the school bus rides I had. You wouldn't believe the things that happened to me there. Well, that's when I met my wife. She was a real looker. I mean, this guy starts talking to me on the train. I mean, who does that? Who talks to someone they don't even know? But I mean, that was before I went on that trip to the Holy Land. And you wouldn't believe the things I saw there. And that all connected to the part I told you about before. But you see, if those things hadn't happened in fourth grade, in fifth grade, like I told you, but that was nothing. I think I've always believed, or I've wanted to believe, that I think humans have a deep need, a longing. For significance. It's not like the animals, you know, like the chimps or the gerbils. I think we've got the spirit force in us that it wants to be tapped. It needs to be let go. I just think we're all connected. I mean, I'm connected to you. I pray all the time now. I pray for friends like you whose lives are going nowhere. I pray for understanding, to find out what's wrong with people so I can help them, so I can be a lifesaver for them. What I'm giving, I mean, just ask my kids. I mean, I'm just the Uber dad, they would all say. I just ask the church. I mean, where did that money for the new campus come from? I guess you could say I'm a friend of Jesus, and clearly, he's fond of me. Well, that's my story. What about you, my friend? Is Jesus fond of you? I guess if I was to sum up my story, I have to say, my heart is overwhelmed by my justification, which began my sanctification, which was only possible through the shed blood of a Savior, which, well, some mistakenly call expiation, but as you obviously know it as propitiation. And because of that, one day, the trump will sound it. I shall cross the River Jordan into Beulah land and forever enjoy my glorification. What can anyone possibly say to that except Maranatha? Well, what about you, my friend? I love you, and I don't want you to hear.
Right, in case any of you didn't catch that, those are all bad examples. Maybe some of them lost you, right? What is he talking about? It's easy to derail our story. It's easy to get people lost. So there are lots of ways to do that. Pi squared, what we've been talking about, this is a formula for intentional living. It stands for pray, invest, invite. And we believe that's a better way than some of those examples that you saw to reach out to people and connect with people on a spiritual level. So if you have joined us on this Pi Squared adventure, you've been praying every day for four people you care about who are far from God. Now, I'm just curious. You don't have to share anything if you don't want. But has anybody already seen God answer something? You've already seen an answer to prayers you've been praying for people? You don't have to tell me, but if that's true, like, keep praying. Keep praying. At least one person nodded. I had an answer to prayer this week, and they don't have to be giant, huge answers to prayer, but God did something pretty cool this week that was unexpected with one of the guys that I'm praying for. And what God did, it's a small thing, but it could be a big thing. Basically, he put our two daughters together in the same special class that they're going to be in at school. And so starting on Thursday this past week, they're going to be together like all day long. So he's bringing our families together in ways that I cannot control. That's cool. Like, that's just a small thing. Like, he's bringing our families together. Just found out about that on Tuesday. So keep praying. God is going to do things. And sometimes he does big things. Sometimes he does small things. But if you are really taking this pi squared thing seriously, you're also asking God to give you open doors so you can join these people you're praying for on their spiritual journey. And I just want to ask you this. Are you ready for God to answer that prayer? If God opens a door and you get to join somebody on their spiritual journey, are you ready to walk through that door? Are you prepared? That's what this last Sunday is about of this Pi Squared series. This is about invite. And I want you to think about that. Sorry. Are you ready to walk through that door if God opens it? You've been praying. You've been investing in people as friends, as meaningful relationships. Today we want to talk about invite. How can I make the most of the opportunity when God opens a door? When a providential moment happens? Am I ready and willing to invite my friends to take their next step toward God? That's what invite is about. Just being there, helping them take their next step toward God. Can you really prepare for something like that? Can you really have your ducks in a row and know exactly what you're going to say? You can't know exactly what you're going to say, no, but you absolutely can be prepared. And I want to help you be prepared this morning. Because if you don't prepare, you'll sound like that guy in the video. You follow down one of those pitfalls, and we don't want to do that. Now, I mentioned 2 weeks ago, this is more of an insider series, so if you're still checking out Christianity and not sure what you believe yet at this point, this is kind of the inside scoop on what makes us tick and what we're about. So it could be interesting for you. But maybe you're wondering, why do we have to be all intentional about inviting people to follow Jesus with us? Why can't we just leave people alone, let them come to their own conclusions without our interference? It's up to them anyway, right? Isn't it up to them to decide? Well, I want to start answering that question by looking at God's heart. What is God's heart on that? How important does God think it is to pursue those people who are far from him? How important? A little bit? Sort of? A lot. Luke 19:10 said, this is why Jesus came. The Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. That's why he came. Thank God Jesus was not willing to just leave people alone. Thank God he pursued us and he came to rescue us. Son of Man came. That was a pretty inconvenient journey for him. Think about what he went through. God understands that people are lost, and that matters a lot to him. He sees people wandering through life without purpose, without hope, without God, and God thinks they're worth looking for. He wants to rescue them, and he intends to use us in the process, which is astounding. Open your Bible, if you have one, Luke chapter 15. Page 740 in the Bibles we provide, Luke chapter 15. I just want to read the first 7 verses. Luke 15, verse 1. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear him, to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I've found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. And this parable continues through the rest of the chapter, and the whole thing communicates loud and clear that God cares very much for those people who are far from him. And everyone, he talks about how all of heaven celebrates when a sinner repents and turns to God in faith. And so what we just read is just the first of three examples Jesus gives. This is how much lost people matter to God. It's consuming to him. So much energy he has put into reaching out to rescue us, and he continues to do that. Story of the prodigal son is told in this chapter, and you may be familiar with that. But there's this picture of the father who his son has rebelled against him, said, I don't want anything to do with you. Just give me my money. I'm out of here. And the father's just waiting and watching, desperately praying and hoping that he'll come back. It'll come home. And when that son finally does come to his senses and come home, he doesn't come home to a stern face and a bony finger. He comes home to this biggest embrace he's ever had. And that parable is a picture of God the Father waiting and longing for us to come home. As this chapter begins, we see who he's talking to. And it says the tax collectors and sinners were gathering around to hear him, but the Pharisees and teachers of the law are grumbling. This man welcomes sinners and eats with them. There's a religious in crowd that's looking down on certain people who are coming to Jesus. These people are not worthy of Jesus' attention in their minds, and Jesus very strongly disagrees. So the parable is somewhat of a stinging rebuke to those people who are thinking that way. Jesus is saying, yes, these people matter to me a lot, and if you have a problem with that, I have a problem with you. It's not okay to look down on any person, on any category of people. If someone's far from God, we should have compassion toward them. If their lifestyle is repulsive to you, if what they do is offensive to you, that's okay. You don't have to like what they do. But they're still people and they're deeply loved by God. Lost people matter to God. And that's why we're doing Pi Squared. Pray, invest, invite. Now, I believe most of you, I know a lot of you pretty well, most of you, you want to have meaningful spiritual conversations with your friends who are far from God. You want to do that. Some of you feel intimidated by it. You're afraid. You're nervous. You don't know what to say, how to do it. You want to get meaningful with people, but it's intimidating. So I want to take some time this morning to equip you to be better prepared for that. If this is what you want. So is that something you want? You want to have meaningful spiritual conversations with people who matter to you? A lot of us want that. So I want to share two different angles. There are two angles to being prepared to share. So depending on how much you want this and how much you want to be ready will depend on how much you take notes on this and how much you really absorb what we're talking about. There are two angles when God gives you an open door to talk about spiritual things with a friend. Two angles. One is being ready to share God's story. How ready are you to share God's story? How do I talk about God in a way that's full of clarity and passion? And the second is being ready to share your story. You have a story. How do I convey my personal faith story in a way that's humble and interesting? Not falling into one of those pitfalls in the opening video. That's what we want to be ready for. We want to fully understand what we believe and how we would share that with somebody. So let's flip over to Colossians chapter 4. We've been in this passage all 3 weeks, and I want to look at verses 5 and 6. Colossians 4 is page 835 in the Bibles we provide. Colossians 4, verse 5 says this, "Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone." So verse 5 we looked at last week, right? Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. That's about how you act, how you relate to people. This is how you invest in people's lives. And this would include listening to people. That's a really important part. If you want to communicate with somebody, you've got to be able to listen. Always listen before you talk. If you have no idea where someone's coming from, how in the world do you think you can possibly communicate about something as profound and life-challenging as faith and surrendering your life to Jesus? If you have no clue where they're coming from, you cannot do that. Always listen first. Basic rule of thumb, if you're engaged in a spiritual conversation and you're doing most of the talking, it's probably not an effective conversation. You have to ask questions. You have to listen. You have to know where they're coming from. I remember hearing this story quite a while ago about this little boy who asked his mom one day, "Mommy, where did I come from?" And mommy wasn't feeling quite ready to answer that question, but since Jimmy's asking, she takes a deep breath and says, "Well, Jimmy, your daddy gave a part and mommy gave a part, and those two parts came together, made a teeny tiny baby, and that teeny tiny baby had to live inside of mommy for 9 months and before he was born, and that teeny tiny baby was you." And after a short, thoughtful pause, Jimmy said, "Oh, okay. Brandon said he came from Baltimore." Mommy didn't answer the question Jimmy was asking, did she? Always listen first. What are they ready to talk about? What do they want to talk about? What's going on in their life? That's really important. Because once you've listened, then you know where they're coming from and are more likely to have a meaningful conversation without coming across as judgmental or condemning. Like, you know where they're at and you know what they believe, don't believe. You don't. So that's where verse 6 comes in. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt. That's flavor. That's attractive. So that you may know how to answer everyone. Let your conversation be always full of grace. 1 Peter 3:15 says something pretty similar. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect. Do this with gentleness and respect. So if God opens a door, are you ready to walk through it? If one of the people you're praying for right now came up to you one day and just asked out of the blue, "What do you believe about God?" What would you say? 1st, you need to know what they're actually asking. They may not be asking for the long answer. This is not an opportunity to start a 40-minute diatribe where you explain everything you ever possibly thought about God. That's not where that's supposed to go. But as you talk to them, if you discover they do want to know really some of the details of what is God's story, are you ready to share that in a way that makes sense? I wasn't until I'd been a Christian for about 12 years. Took me 12 years of being a Christian before I really understood how to explain this stuff. We don't have to wait that long. Scripture says always be prepared to give an answer because this stuff is meaningful. So I want to share something, and I think this is a simple way to explain God's story in just a couple minutes. It doesn't take a long time, but I'm going to draw it. This is something you can draw on a napkin just to explain, okay, this is what we believe. This is what we see in the Bible is what God has done for us. And so I want to throw it up on the board. And if it's helpful for you, great. If it's not, just delete as you walk out of here. But all of this comes from the book of Romans. Romans is fantastic in terms of explaining what Jesus did for us. So this is called the bridge illustration. And so you have a space on your notes if you want to write this down. How many of you heard of the bridge illustration? A few, 6, 7, 8. It starts with me over here and God over here. There's distance. There's distance between us. And most people would agree, yeah, I'm not really, really close to God. But Romans chapter 3 explains that a little bit. Romans 3:23 says, "All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." So what that means, fall short of the glory of God, that means there's kind of a chasm between us. I'm over here, God's over here, and it's a long way. I can't get over there. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God is Romans 3. So that's kind of bad news. I can't get close to God because I'm under judgment. My sin, my offense of God has brought me under his judgment. That's bad news, but it's real. We have to face reality if we're going to get to the good news because it's not all bad news. The next verse that I would share is Romans 6:23, which tells us the wages of our sin is death. So we've got death to look forward to. thanks to our rebellion. The wages of sin is death. That's what's in between us and God. Death, judgment, condemnation. But that verse doesn't end with death. There's good news right after it. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. The gift of God is eternal life. So there is a way across this, and that way is the cross. Jesus Christ is the way across. He's the gift of God. So that's pretty cool. There's a way to get over here, and this is the bridge, right? Jesus is the bridge. Romans 5:8 says, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I didn't deserve it. I deserved this down here. But while I was still a sinner, Christ died for me, making the way. Jesus, perfect Son of God, became our bridge, taking our judgment so we could be forgiven. He took my condemnation. He gave me his righteousness. Those are phenomenal things. It's called the great exchange when he got my guilt and I got his goodness. That's cool. So how do you participate in the great exchange? How does that actually happen? How do you really get from here to here? How do you do that? You got to cross the bridge, right? How do you cross the bridge? How do you get there? By putting your hope and trust in Jesus, rather than trusting in yourself to get there. And Romans 10, verses 9 to 10. Romans 10, 9 and 10. This is longer, so I'm going to look this one up. I don't want to get it wrong on you. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. It is with your heart that you believe and are justified. It's with your mouth you confess and are saved. This is putting your trust in Jesus rather than yourself. This is the bridge. Now, how do I know that it works? Because this is all kind of up in the air, kind of mystical, kind of thinking stuff. You can't actually like walk across the bridge, right? And know that you're on the other side. How do I know that works? This is where you have to believe. You have to believe it. Romans 10:13 says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. These are all concepts we have to understand. We have to be able to communicate. If you call on the name of the Lord, you'll be saved. That means you move from here to here by saying, I need you. I need forgiveness. I want to follow you. You try to jump over that chasm on your own, you're going to fall. So we can trust our own logic. We can trust our own efforts. And this is where we'll go, because we cannot cross that bridge without Christ. So I choose to put my confidence in the wisdom and the word of God, because there's a lot of reasons. And as I'm talking to someone, the reliability of the Bible will come up. And I would invite them to, we can talk about all the reasons I believe it's true. Like that's legitimate. We probably should do that. And I'm happy to do that. But here's my question. Here's my question at the end of this. Where would you place yourself on this napkin as I'm sitting in a restaurant? Where would you put yourself? Are you over here? Or are you over here? And where do you want to be? And if they're engaging with you, if they're relating with you, how they answer that question is going to determine where you go next. Some people are not interested. They don't believe it. They're not interested. So you need to let it go. You can't squeeze someone into the faith. That's the bridge. And it's backed up by the gospel found in Romans. So if you like that, if that makes sense to you, you can't just start there with somebody. Right? I just talked to somebody this week. He doesn't even necessarily believe that there's a God. So what are you going to do with this? That's going to make no sense at all. So you have to know that you're at that point with somebody that you can actually share, this is how I get close to God. They have to want that. So I have booklets right here. I find these really helpful. If what I said doesn't make sense, or if you like the general idea but you need more, take one or two of these and get familiar with it and share it with somebody. But there's a blank on the back. That's where your contact information comes from. We're talking about actually having relationships with people. So this is, yeah, maybe they already have your cell phone number. Hopefully they do. But if they don't, put it here. Let's talk more later. So these are just going to get passed back. There's another stack on that side. So Alicia, if you'd grab that and send them back. Just take one or two if you want. I mean, they're absolutely available for you, and I find them helpful. If you don't, that's okay. So this is God's story, right? This is God's story. If you're talking with a friend, it's probably not going to end with God's story. And you may have multiple conversations. Hopefully you do talk about meaningful things and significant things. So you'll have multiple conversations, but at some point, they're going to want to hear your story. What's your personal story? I want to be ready to share that. How many of you have had a chance to share your story with somebody who's far from God? You've gotten to do that. I love that. I love it when I have that kind of conversation. That is just so exhilarating to me to have a meaningful conversation with someone who's not at the same place that I am, and they're curious and they want to talk about it. I mean, you're talking about some of the most important things in life. I love that. I got to do it this week with a guy that I was getting to know, and I feel more alive when I'm talking about spiritual things than any other time. Like, yeah, this is what it's about. Whether it's somebody who believes the same things and we're just going deep together, or somebody who's just way far away from where I'm at, like, I love this stuff. And I remember one of my best memories of college life was when I worked at Friendly's. And I'm in college, seminary, and every so often something would come up during the shift that would lead to more conversation later. And so Friendly's would be locked up, and we'd just be sitting in the employee booth. Most people don't even know where the employee booth is. But we'd be sitting in that booth and just talking about stuff. And they'd be asking questions, just sharing their burdens and stuff that's just hurting them. And we'd be talking about spiritual things. They're asking questions, and we're just sitting there talking, from high school students, college students, to this grandmother, this hurting grandmother named Rose, who should have been retired a long time ago, but still managed the night shift. And we talked about such important things, such deep, significant things. I'm just sitting there, like, I'm going to seminary, learning all this stuff, and I'm just getting to share some of this stuff. And what it means is, there was one anorexic that just, she was so tiny. And we just got to have some really great conversations. And when that kind of thing happens, I don't care how long I stay. I don't want to go to bed. We're talking about good stuff. And so that's one pretty sweet memory from college days for me. Are you ready to share your story? Are you ready when that comes up? Excited to share your story? I mean, if you're not excited about your walk with God, you may not have anything to share. So we need to back up a few steps. But if you are there and you want to do it, are you ready? This is what we're talking about, is your before and after story. Before Jesus and after Jesus. How has God changed my life? That's important when you're sharing with a friend. They should know that. And you need to think about, okay, I have different versions of my story. I have a really long version. There's some times when that's appropriate, and you should hone that and make sure you're not boring people to death with details that they really don't care about. You notice in the video, like, they're panning away, trying to, like, get away from the conversation. You don't want that. But you also need a short version. A really short version, like a minute, a 1 minute version of your story. Seriously? Like, how am I going to share in 1 minute some of the most important things that ever happened in my life? I think you should be ready to do that, because not every occasion is a 30 minute opportunity. If you're at break and something comes up and you get to share that, that's the time to do that. Or you're getting to know a neighbor and it's just across the fence. They're not wanting to stand there for 45 minutes. But the 1 minute version might be perfect. I don't know if you've ever thought about that or tried to prepare that. Anybody have your 1 minute version ready to roll? Like, yes, I'm ready to share that. Couple nods. Let me just give you mine, for example, and this is no, like, home run story. This is just me, and I did my best to make it a minute. So I can still work on this, and I would encourage you to work on your 1 minute version. But here's mine, just as an example. I became a Christian as a child. I was pretty young, but I understood enough to know that I had done wrong things that were offensive to God. And I understood that without Jesus' forgiveness, I would be judged for those things. That's when I became a believer. I believed Jesus died for me so I could be forgiven. I trusted him to do that at a young age. But I really didn't start taking God seriously till my first year of college. And that's when I realized I was treating God like a side dish. He was part of my life, but I was the one calling the shots. I had a plan for my future. I was working the plan. I wanted to be a veterinarian. I was going to serve God as a veterinarian. It was going to be great, but that was my plan. First year of college, God made it real clear that he had a different plan. And I had to decide, whose plan am I going to follow? It was a huge turning point in my life. Huge turning point. Am I going to let God decide my future? I didn't want to be a pastor. That was not my plan. I wasn't heading that direction at all. But at that point, I decided, you got it, God. I let go of my future. And God started to change my heart. And I am so glad I did that. I wouldn't trade that decision and or this life for anything. I'm glad I'm not a veterinarian. I still love animals, but I know this is where I belong. Anybody time me? A minute. Thought maybe somebody would do that. You can share your story in under a minute, but not without thinking it through. It takes some work. You don't want to be long-winded. You don't want to be fuzzy. You want to minimize your religion-ese. And you don't want to come across as superior. What you do want is to be humble and interesting and to point people to Jesus. That's what you want. So if you want to work on that, your one-minute version, you are welcome to draft a copy, send it to me. I'll look at it. I'm no expert necessarily, but sometimes a second set of eyes could be helpful. So if you want to do that, send it to me. Or maybe you want to share it with a friend at home group or somebody you respect that's mature in their faith. And they can look at it and be like, you know, that part doesn't make sense. That's great. So I'd encourage you to do that. Think about that. One way or another, we want to be ready when God opens the door. So go back to Colossians 4, verse 6. I think I have it here. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so you may know how to answer everyone. You want to know how to answer everyone? You've got to learn to read people. You've got to listen. You've got to understand. Full of grace, seasoned with salt. Full of grace, seasoned with salt. That phrase right there tells us it's not okay to just dump truth on somebody and walk away content. I got the message out to them. Now it's up to them. No. Full of grace, seasoned with salt means your approach really matters. How you come across to people, how you talk to them in humility, in grace, that really matters. So you want to make the most of every opportunity. That means you don't just barge through a door and just keep talking until they run away, dumping information. I feel like they're losing interest. I'm going to talk faster. Please don't do that. That's not what they want. What it means is you share what's appropriate for the moment and you have a feel for where they're at. So when we say invite, this is not a simple just one definition. This is invite. This is not just a invite them to church. That's not what we mean. It's not invite them to church. And it's not invite them to be forgiven and saved. It's not inviting them to swallow the whole thing in the first conversation. It's broader than that. What we're talking about, it's in your notes. Hopefully you saw that. The invite, according to Pi Squared, is inviting a person to take their next step toward God. That's what invite means. Help them, just invite them, encourage them to take their next step toward God. So think about that from a broad angle. Let's think about what could this be? What could invite be that's beyond inviting them to church and beyond this part saying, do you want to be here? I can help you with that. It's broader than that. It's relational. It's based on friendship. So let's just go back to your four people. You've been praying for somebody. Your friendship is growing. You want to move that relationship towards spiritual conversations. What do you do? That depends on you. It depends on your style. It depends on their readiness. So it might mean inviting them to church. Hey, you know what? You just come to my church. Check it out. And that could lead to other conversations. That's part of it. Might mean inviting them to watch a movie that has some kind of faith aspect to it that really made you think. Can you watch a movie with them that doesn't have a faith aspect to it? Yeah, you probably can do that too. That's more invest, right? And that's really valuable too. Invite may mean asking them a question about their beliefs. You're inviting them into a spiritual conversation. You might invite them to have coffee and just have a conversation together. You might invite them to read a book. Hey, I just read this book. You should check it out. I'm reading a book right now about a Muslim who grew up in America, and he it's called Seeking Allah, Finding Jesus. So it's his story, and it's really interesting. So you might read something, say, hey, would you check this out, and then talk about it later. The ultimate invite is to invite someone to put their trust in Jesus, because that's where life change happens. That's where we want them to find their hope in him, and we love to get there, but there may be a dozen invites before you get to that, before they're ready for that. So you have to be patient. You have to love people. So does that make sense, what invite really means? It's not just cookie cutter kind of thing. Pi squared, pray, invest, invite. This is a mindset. This is a way of thinking. This is a patient process that can help you effectively share Jesus with people who God brings into your life. This is what we want to be. This is what we want to be in as we relate to people who are far from God. We want to pray for them, invest in friendship with them, and invite them to take their next step. So this is intentional. It's not just kind of wandering through life, wondering if something may ever happen. I'm being intentional. I'm praying for these people every day because they really matter to me. Then your eyes are open. So this is a God-driven thing. It's not you-driven. So if you like this idea, this way of thinking, if this mindset becomes yours, your life is going to go places you can't imagine right now. God is going to bring people into your life. He's going to give you opportunities. He's going to give you providential moments that you had no idea would be possible. And as you do this, as you start to do this, you keep praying. This is where it starts. God starts answering those prayers, gives you opportunities, and you step through those doors. There's going to be some days you lay your head on your pillow and you think, wow, God, this was an awesome day. Because he answered a prayer and he did something and he made a connection. You got to have a conversation. It was deeply meaningful. You're going to have experiences you never would have dreamed God would use you to go that deep with somebody else. But you have to be prepared or you're going to miss that. You have to be thinking about it. I have four people I'm praying for. And as I pray for them, God is answering. He's doing things. But he's also making me just more aware in general. And I got a chance this week. I was selling a truck. It's kind of a long story. I had a pickup truck I was selling. I sold it today. And I got to know this guy who was buying it. And we just started a dialogue, got to know each other a little bit. And he found out who I was and what I did. And so, after we'd interacted a couple different times, he just asked me about it. How I got there. And turns out he's really interested in all kinds of spiritual things. Not Christianity, but everything else. And so we had a really good conversation. It wasn't an argument. We're on opposite poles in terms of what we believe. Like, I don't think you can get more opposite. He's open to Satanism. Nice Satanism. I don't know if that exists, really. But we're in opposite places. We had a great conversation, and we texted later on. He said, I'd love to talk more about this stuff with you. That's how you want the conversation to end. That was a good conversation. Let's talk more. Not, let me get away from this guy. I'm glad I'm just buying a truck, and now we might actually have a friendship growing. That's what we want. I want to close with a story told by Josh McDowell. And this was shared at the church in Northridge that also used this sermon series. Josh McDowell tells the story of an interaction he had with an executive hirer. That's a headhunter. Okay, so this executive hire is talking about how he goes about recruiting an executive from one company to work for another. Okay, so here's what he said. He's talking to Josh. He said, when I get an executive I'm trying to hire for someone else, I like to disarm him. I offer him a drink, take my coat off, undo my tie, throw up my feet and talk about baseball, football, family, whatever, until he's all relaxed. Then, when I've got him relaxed, I lean over, look him square in the eye and say, "What's your purpose in life?" It's amazing how top executives fall apart at that question. Well, I was interviewing this fellow the other day, had him all disarmed, my feet up on his desk talking about football, and I leaned up and I said, "What's your purpose in life, Bob?" And he said, without blinking an eye, "To go to heaven, take as many people with me as I can." Wow. I like that. Now, is sharing your faith with others the only thing in life that matters? It's not. It's not. There are lots of different things God has for you to do, but sharing your faith with others sure is important. God has you where you are for a reason, probably multiple reasons. And sharing your faith with some of the people in your circle is part of why God puts you where you are. I'm not there. No one else in this room is right where you are. God put you there for a reason. So if you allow pi squared to become part of your thinking, your eyes are going to be spiritually focused so you notice opportunities God gives you to invest in people, to invite them into this restored relationship with God, to move from there to there. Pray, invest, invite. What do you think about that? I don't know if I've asked you that yet. We've talked for 3 Sundays. Does that make sense to you? Do you like that? Maybe you're not there yet. That's okay. You don't have to be there yet. But I do want you to think about, okay, what's my next step? What am I going to do with this? Because we're going to move on and talk about other things, but we want this to be how we think. So on the back of your program, there's 3 different commitments that you may want to make. You might want to make one of them. You might want to make all 3 of them. But this is the pi squared commitment. Number 1, I'm going to pray daily for people far from God because I know I can't change anybody. Number 2, I'm going to invest in people who are far from God because I truly care about them. And number 3, I will invite people to know God because caring alone isn't enough. What are you ready for? You ready for all 3 of those? Maybe just the first one. Just take a minute right now to ask God, what do you want me to do from here? What do you want me to do with this? And he might bring a name to your mind. He might bring an action step. I need to do this. What's your next step?